us out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you were speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello, my name's Scott Hughes.
My name's Rick Hutton.
And we are the two soft compounds. So we've had a weekend of no Grand Prix racing, which was very bizarre. After all the back-to-back races, I was just sat there twiddling my thumbs on Sunday. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, what's happening here? This is weird again. But the British Grand Prix, of course, back this weekend.
Yes, lots to talk about from the opening three races that we've had. Of course, we've got protests going in. We've had penalties. We've had Mercedes dominance, which I quite frankly can't see ending. The British Grand Prix, I think Hamilton will run away with it once again. But we also know that the midfield battle is quite an exciting one at the moment.
Yeah, I've read some really interesting facts as well about the British Grand Prix. This is something I didn't know. Jenson Button is the only British champion to not finish on the podium at the British Grand Prix. I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know.
Obviously, Hamilton's cleaned up there. I think he's had six wins, has he? So he's going for his seventh win at his home Grand Prix. It's usually a very good Grand Prix, the British Grand Prix as well, because you've got, it's exciting, fast track. Normally the crowd is there, so it's a very, British crowd. It's been interesting so far, because I said to you, after the first race, I was like, I think it was the qualifying and practice sessions, and I was messaging you, and I said, I've not seen any yet. What's it like? What's it like without the crowd? And you were like, yeah, it's pretty much the same. And it's very different from football, isn't it, for example, where the crowd make an enormous difference. I think with the engines and stuff in Formula One, you don't really miss, any kind of crowd effects or anything like that. It is different without the crowds, and, the podium ceremonies have been interesting to see this year, and there's been some very interesting things that they have done. For me, though, the most exciting thing so far is the fact that we've had a couple of back-to-back races at the same tracks. We've had all these different things, and there's teams that are kind of caught off guard a little bit because we're going here and we're going there, and then this is happening and that's happening, and it all feels a bit more kind of spontaneous, I think, this year, which is really good.
Yeah, I really think what Formula One have done as a community, as a racing family, has just been fantastic. We've got the new circuits added to the season. So basically, it looks as though now we're going to have pretty much a full European season. We're definitely not going to Mexico, Canada, America, or Brazil, which for obvious reasons, because the coronavirus outbreak is still very much ongoing. I was going to talk about this a bit later. We may as well talk about it now. The three new additions to the calendar this year, really exciting. The Nürburgring, which is a good technical track, but does have lots of overtaking opportunities. We're going to Portimão in Portugal, which is a circuit that Formula One's never been to before. It's quite a modern track, and it reminds me a little bit of Barcelona. There's some very similar corners on the Portimão circuit. And we're also going to Imola, which is just one of my favourite classic Formula One circuits. We haven't raced there since 2006 in Formula One. Unfortunately, it was the site of tragedy with Roland Ratzenberger and Ayrton Senna, but it is a fantastic circuit. Definitely overtaking opportunities, a little bit narrower than the modern circuits, and I think we're going to have some great racing there. And as I was telling you before we started recording, Imola, I don't know why they're doing this, but they're only having a two-day instead of a three-day race weekend, so they'll have just one practice session on Saturday morning, then qualifying, and then the race on Sunday. And the teams have no data, so they've got no tyre data, no engine data, no telemetry, because they haven't raced there for so long. So it's going to make it for a really interesting race.
Yeah, and I read somewhere the other day, actually, that I think the only current driver on the grid that's raced at Imola before is Kimi Raikkonen. I don't think any other driver has as well, which is going to make it, again, very interesting. And quite ironic that Ferrari are having one of their worst years in history, and there's three Italian based Grand Prix this year, which is almost rubbing it in. And I've seen the Ferrari chairman this week came out and said he doesn't expect Ferrari to be back in winning ways until at least 2022, believe it or not. So he's not holding out a lot of hope. I mean, they've had a shocking start to the season, haven't they, Ferrari?
Oh, they really have. I mean, if you look at the race last time out, both Ferraris lapped is just an unheard of thing. We wouldn't have been talking about that in any normal Formula One year. And of course, they've had this restructuring at Ferrari now. Now, this is classic Binotto to me. He said there's no point in firing anyone because that gets you nowhere. Let's just move them round a bit. Well, hang on. So you were useless in that job, so we're moving you to a new job that you have no experience of because you might be better in that one even though you were useless in the one you had before. I don't get it. I think they need to be a lot tougher at Ferrari. Me personally, I think Binotto should probably have gone. I don't think he's strong enough. But, you know, who knows whether they even have anyone who could take his place at the moment. I think he needs to be a lot tougher. He's letting the drivers sort of get away with the things that they're getting away with off track. He's also letting his strategists ruin race weekends. And of course, they've got fundamental problems with the drag and the engine of the car.
Yeah, I mean, as an outsider, it feels a bit like a rudderless ship to me. It feels like there's no one kind of steering it and there's no one at the very top, which obviously is Binotto's job. I saw a clip the other day, actually, on the internet. And it was Michael Schumacher was walking around when he was in Ferrari and he was interviewing a load of the team members. And he said, and here we've got this guy who's in charge of the engines. And it was him. And I was like, wow, there he is. And he was really young. You know, this must have been, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years ago, something like that. I don't know the exact year, but it was a long time ago. Would it have been probably 18 years ago, wouldn't it, when Schumacher was at Ferrari? But he looked really young. And I didn't realize he'd been with a team that long. And it seems to be one of those teams where they do promote from within and they do bring these guys up and you know, promote them. And I don't know, I just feel the same. I feel like he's a little bit too soft. And it's almost like he's kind of like, oh, you know, just either let the boys have a few months to get their heads together and it'll all come together and it's all good. Let's just relax and go on a holiday and chill out a bit. It feels a bit like that to me. And I kind of think they need somebody in charge just going, come on, guys, you know, what are we doing? You know, we need to sort this out. What's the problem? Is it the aero? Is it the engine? What department needs the most attention? Let's get some new people in. Let's change stuff around. You know, this is the most successful Formula One team on the planet. You know, why they've got people coming out of their ears. They've got money coming out of their ears. Why are they not getting it right? It's crazy.
Yeah, I think Enzo Ferrari would be turning in his grave.
Two soft compounds.
So as we go into the British Grand Prix, obviously it's a double header. So we've got the 70th anniversary Grand Prix the weekend after this one, which is just the same because it's the same circuit. But we saw from the A1 ring that just because the race is on the same circuit the week after each other doesn't mean to say that the race is going to be exactly the same as we saw, which is good. Makes it quite exciting, I think. We've got some controversy still going into the British Grand Prix, and they reckon the FIA may have sorted this out before we race on Sunday this weekend. And this is the Racing Point and its brake ducts. Renault have put two protests in because they reckon they are using race ducts, brake ducts, I should say, that were either purchased or directly copied from Mercedes. And I've looked into this. It's like everything with rules and regs, it's quite complicated. Last year, you could go to another team and say, we will pay you to design us parts for the car, i.e. brake ducts. So Racing Point could have gone to Mercedes last year and said, we'll buy them as a customer off you and use them on our car. This year, the rule has changed. So you have to design your own brake ducts and you can't buy them off the peg from another team. What Renault are protesting about is that they think that Racing Point bought those brake ducts last year from Mercedes, which was legal, but then all they've done this year is completely copy the design of last year's brake duct and used it on this car. So Renault are saying, well, it's not your design, which is in the rules. You've copied it from Mercedes. And that's the whole grey area at the moment. Hopefully, we'll get a ruling on it before this weekend. Now, if we do get a ruling and it goes against Racing Point, that will affect them. They'll lose points from both the Hungarian Grand Prix and the Styrian Grand Prix. So there were two protests that went in, and that's what we're talking about for this weekend.
Yeah, and I kind of feel for Racing Point. I think I'm on their side in this one as well, because it's, you know, that's the whole point of racing and technology and the fight to be the best team in Formula One is, you know, they're taking pictures of each other's cars. And, you know, every year a team comes up with a different device. It's Mercedes again this year. But, you know, we've had Red Bull do it in the past, and there's been, you know, the double diffuser, and there's been all these different innovations that have come around. And every year there's a team that's miles ahead of everybody else because they've got some design difference. Every other team immediately goes, oh, they've got this thing that works. Look at that. It's brilliant. Let's take some pictures. Let's copy it. You know, and they then go away and design their own version of it. And by mid-season, they'll have their own version on the car. They'll catch up. And, you know, that's Formula One, isn't it? And I feel like that's all Racing Point may have done here is, maybe they've bought a part from Mercedes last year. They've looked at the part and gone, well, we can design that again for this year. And, you know, if the part is that good that they can use it this year and it has the same effect and it makes the car that much quicker than it is, you know, then good luck to them. That's Formula One, surely.
Yeah, and it's a way of exploring the rules to take the most loopholes that you can without breaking the rules, isn't it? And it looks as though, you know, for me as a fan watching on, it looks as though that's exactly what they've done. They've interpreted the rules in a slightly different way than that the rest of the teams have. Racing Point could be really strong this weekend again. And let's talk about Red Bull briefly, because we thought they were going to be a lot closer in Hungary, as we've seen over the years. And obviously this Mercedes dominance, a full half second or 6/10 faster than anything else on the circuit. I guess we could expect the same in Silverstone, but of course Red Bull had a decent showing there last year, didn't they?
Yeah, and again, you know, Red Bull, I think they're a great team. They're very kind of up and down this year, aren't they? They've got a lot of reliability issues. They've had some unluckiness with the drivers being punted off Alex Albon, you know, particular. And obviously Max had his crash on the warm-up lap in the wet last time round. I feel like they've got a lot of potential, but they're not getting it right. You know, the difference between Red Bull and Ferrari at the moment, Ferrari is just a disaster in every way you look at it. Whereas Red Bull, there's a lot of potential there, but they just need to get it all right, get it all nailed together, and off they go. But unfortunately, it's going to be a short season, I think, this year anyway. So, you know, will it be too late by the time they get their act together? Is it going to be too late? Is the likes of McLaren and Racing Point going to be far ahead? Probably yes.
Nicky coming up in just a second with some pre-race stats for the British Grand Prix weekend. First, let's just briefly talk about Haas, who had the double penalty at the Hungarian Grand Prix. This was because all the teams went out on intermediate tyres, apart from Magnussen, who went out on full wets. And basically, during the parade lap, which is obviously the lap they take to get to the grid before lights out, Haas called them in on the radio and said, come in at the end of the parade lap, we'll change tyres to slicks. Now, they did that, and at one stage during the race, even with that fairly knackered Ferrari engine, they were running in third and fourth because of that tyre call. The FIA said, no penalty. I'm afraid you're not allowed to use the radio to advise your drivers on the parade lap. Now, I think, I don't know about you, Scott, but I think that's a rule that maybe needs looking at, because that made it exciting that they were able to make that call and it changed up the order of the race.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because they took away the ability of drivers to get coached on the radio, which I agreed with, because I thought, you know, these are the best 20-odd drivers in the world. They should be able to do this job with their eyes closed and should be the best drivers in the world. They shouldn't need coaching. But then basically what's happened here is a team has taken a punt. They've gone, well, let's try something a bit different. You know, they've called the drivers in to put the different tyres on and they've been punished for that, which, you know, this isn't really, it's not, they're not instructing the drivers. They're not helping the drivers drive the cars. And if anything, if you're putting slick tyres on when it's, you know, at least damp, if not rainy, that's very challenging for the drivers. So the fact that they took a punt and, like you say, they got up to the front, they were third and fourth at one point, you know, that makes it exciting. That's the kind of thing that should be encouraged. They should be encouraging these teams to, you know, do something a little bit curveball. And, you know, when it is raining, oh, should we try slick? Should we try this? Should we try that? You know, and if the teams are coming together and coming up with these ideas and it makes the racing more successful, better, more fun, more exciting for the viewers, that's exactly what we need. What we don't need is teams getting punished for trying these things, because then no one's going to try anything and it'll be a procession every week.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. Nicky is here now from At Lights Out. It's a brilliant online blog you can follow on Twitter across the live race weekend. Also, check out his website, which you can access through his Twitter page, At Lights Out. I think he's going to talk to us about a couple of records that could be broken this weekend.
Hamilton could set a new record for most home Grand Prix wins. Bottas is on course to equal one of Hamilton's records, and things are looking good for Mercedes. Here are the numbers to look out for over the 2020 British Grand Prix weekend. First up, the man who has won 5 of the last 6 Silverstone races. A win for Lewis Hamilton at the 2020 British Grand Prix would see him become the driver to have won his national Grand Prix the most times. In 2019, Hamilton scored his 6th home win at the British Grand Prix. Alain Prost scored 6 home wins at the French Grand Prix during his career. Meanwhile, a pole position for Hamilton would see him surpass Ayrton Senna as the driver to have had the most home pole positions. Next, Hamilton's teammate, and should Bottas reach Q3 at the British Grand Prix, this will be the 66th consecutive race in which the Finn has reached the final part of qualifying, which will tie with the record for most consecutive Q3 appearances. That record was set by Lewis Hamilton between the 2010 Chinese Grand Prix and the 2013 Belgian Grand Prix. Hamilton's teammate, be that Nico Rosberg or Valtteri Bottas, has appeared in Q3 at every race since the 2013 Brazilian Grand Prix. That's all of the last 125 races. Mercedes have won all but one of the last 7 races held at Silverstone. A pole position for them this weekend would make them the 4th team to have taken 10 poles at the British Grand Prix. Ferrari, Williams and Lotus are the other teams to have had at least 10 poles at the event. And if Mercedes win the British Grand Prix from pole position, this will be the 90th time that they have won from pole in Formula 1, the same number of times as McLaren have done so. Only Ferrari have scored more wins from pole, doing so 131 times. And finally, this weekend's race will mark the first time that the British Grand Prix has been held in August in Formula 1's World Championship history. And in the history of the British Grand Prix, the only time that the event has previously been held in August was the first time it was held at Brooklands in 1926. The 2020 British Grand Prix will be the 7th F1 race to be held on the 2nd of August, but the first which has not been held in Germany.
Thank you, Nicky. You can, of course, check out all his blogs over the weekend. He's got some amazing stats and facts that go up online. Talking there about the British Grand Prix being in August as well. Not only that, this Sunday, the 2nd of August, it's my birthday.
Yay!
So I'm hoping for a good race. But have a listen to these names on this list. This is former British Grand Prix race winners, right? But just have a listen to the quality on this list. Michael Schumacher's had 3. Niki Lauda's had 3. Jack Brabham's had 3. Mansell has had 4. Alain Prost has had 5. Jim Clark has had 5. Lewis Hamilton has had 6. What a list of names. And that, when you see lists like that, that sort of confirms to me how amazing Lewis Hamilton is. You know, he's breaking all these records. We've said it many times before. I believe he's one of these drivers that's going to retire and disappear for a few years before anybody kind of realizes just how good he is. And he's one of those that you kind of hate when he's current, because he's winning everything and he makes it a little bit boring. But when he retires, you go, wow, that's just some incredible records that guy's broken.
And Johnny Herbert won the British Grand Prix, of course, back in the 90s. Freak race. Lewis Hamilton, a lot of people have said to me this season so far, when we started the delayed season, we've had 3 races. They went, oh, so boring. Hamilton's just winning everything. Well, of course, he wasn't even on the podium in the first race, don't forget. And you can't take away from the fact that he is probably the best driver of our generation. He has the car, obviously, which helps. But if you look at Bottas, unable to match him in most of the sessions. He out-qualifies him occasionally. But my thing on Bottas, I think, was last weekend in Hungary, or the last time we raced, which is when he was closing the gap to Max Verstappen at over a second a lap and then couldn't get past him. I was just like, you know what? Bottas, that's your world championship challenge over in my eyes. Other people might not agree. But he did that last year when he had a strong start to the season and then just sort of tapered off. And I think his overtaking during races leaves a lot to be desired in the best car with the best teammate. I just don't think he's got that edge when it comes down to making those lightning moves and lunges up the inside and all that sort of stuff. I might be completely wrong, and you might be listening to this on a podcast now going, what are you talking about? But it's just the way I see him.
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I think, you know, when Rosberg was teammates with Hamilton, you know, much more equal drivers, I thought. And I think the thing with the year that he won, it was 2016, wasn't it, when Rosberg won it? I think he just got a psychological gain that year. I think whatever he did psychologically, he psyched Hamilton out a little bit. And I think he won it through his mind almost that year. And
yeah.
I think that's something that Bottas doesn't really lack. He hasn't got that ruthless edge to him as well. And I think Formula One is, you know, you see this in a lot of industries. You see a lot of businessmen that are top of their game and they're very ruthless. You see it with women as well. A lot of business women, very ruthless. But everybody that's successful in life, I think, has got this ruthless streak about them. And they're almost not concerned about what other people think. And Hamilton's got a lot of that. Vettel's got a little bit of it. You know, Max Verstappen's definitely got it. Charles Leclerc's got it as well. You know, and I think you need that in Formula One. You need that selfish streak to be able to push and win world titles and to really not care what people think about you. And I think Rosberg learned that. I think Rosberg was a very friendly, nice guy. A lot of people in the paddock liked him. And then all of a sudden he realized, I'm going to need to be really ruthless here to win this. That's what he did. He won the title. He fell out with Hamilton in the process. And that to me is, you know, sums it all up. Whereas Bottas, he's kind of very friendly, very easy to get along with. Hamilton's like, well, he's not really a threat, is he? You know, we get on well, it's great. And they get on too well for my liking. I mean, look at Alain Prost and Senna back in the day. You know, that's the relationship you want. Two guys head to head for a title, you know, really hating each other, really fighting it out, taking each other out off the track. You know, that's what you want to see. When you've got a car as dominant as the Mercedes, if you've got two drivers that are going head-to-head, and there is a part of me that would love to see Hamilton versus Vettel or Hamilton versus Verstappen in that same car for that very reason.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds.
All right, as we get ready to round up the podcast this week, looking ahead to the British Grand Prix, we haven't really spoken about AlphaTauri, as I'm told they're now pronounced. We haven't spoken much about Renault apart from the protests or Alfa Romeo, but they are teams to keep an eye on, obviously, because they are carrying the... well, the AlphaTauri's carrying the Honda engine, but the Alfa Romeo definitely has the Ferrari engine in it, as does the Haas, and we've seen them both struggling in the opening three races of the season. How do we think this weekend's going to pan out then? Obviously, Mercedes are going to be up front, aren't they?
Yeah, for me, it's got to be Mercedes at the front. I think the Racing Point, like you said earlier, are going to do very well this weekend. I feel like the McLaren's going to do quite well as well this weekend. And I feel like it's going to be fairly business as usual. It being the British Grand Prix, you can't rule out a bit of rain. I've had mixed reports. Apparently Friday this week's going to be the nicest day, like 30 degrees around the country. Saturday's going to be very good. Sunday's a bit wishy-washy. Some places saying it's going to rain, some places saying it's staying dry. So could have a bit of rain at the weekend. I think the weekend after that is the second British Grand Prix. So like I've said to you before, one of them has got to feature rain, surely, because that's what we're famous for. So I'm hoping that they are two very different races. But yeah, I think pretty much more of the same. I think the Red Bulls are going to have a very good weekend this weekend as well. I think Verstappen is going to be on the podium. Hamilton will be on the podium. And I'd say Bottas as well. Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas would be my 1-2-3, I think, for this weekend.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I don't think Ferraris are going to see any action towards the front of the grid. You never know, Racing Point or a McLaren could sneak a podium. It would be great to see if they could. Mercedes dominance, though, all the way. We'll be back next week to review the British Grand Prix and to look ahead to what they are calling the 70th anniversary Grand Prix, which is just the British Grand Prix Part 2. In the meantime, have a great week and we'll speak to you after the race.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.